Chapter 10. The big Greyhound bus pulled off the highway and into the Sun West Service Center, just outside Topeka, Kansas. The driver brought it to a stop in front of the Trail's End restaurant and gift shop and announced to the passengers that the rest period would last for 90 minutes. Rollo Nurse climbed out of his seat at the rear of the bus, wrestled his shoulder bag from the overhead, and stepped outside. He stretched and took a deep breath. The air was tangy with the odor of gasoline. Rollo was tall. He stood 6'2", but weighed barely 175 pounds. He was a most unsightly man. The left side of his face drooped dramatically. His eyes were unbalanced, his mouth lopsided. He oozed unpleasantness. He sat alone in the Trail's End restaurant, eating a chicken fried steak and muttering to himself under his breath. He was thinking about the big cop from L.A. Rollo knew he'd been wrong to challenge the cop by feigning ignorance of the crime. He knew he should have followed his instructions, but he hadn't. The cop reeked of booze, which had unsettled him. The cop had hit him with his gun, twice, in the head. He had attempted to surrender, only to be hit again. He had gone down hard. He was dazed. His head had hurt terribly. The last thing he saw before he blacked out was the big cop standing over him, staring at him, dead-eyed. He was put in a cell, alone, isolated. Over time, the pain receded. But now he had trouble remembering things. He had become vague and uncertain. He was damaged. The cop didn't have to hit him like that, didn't have to hurt him so bad. He was visited by dark voices that came in the night. They whispered rage. They filled his head with images of vengeance. Then California's economy collapsed, and he was suddenly free, with no parole restrictions. Free to go where he wished, free to do what he wished, free to heed the dark voices. The PA system in the restaurant blared the announcement that the Greyhound bus to Boston was now boarding. Rollo was first in line.